Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. Today's poem comes to us from John Milton, and it's called When I Consider How My Light Is Spent. John Milton lived from 1608 to 1674, which means he experienced all of the unpleasantness happening in England during that period, including the murdering of a king, and then eventually the restoration of that king's son. But he endured some personal hardships as well, chief among them the loss of his eyesight. By 1651, Milton was entirely blind. As a man of letters, the loss of your sight can feel like a kind of death sentence and caused him much grief and consternation. And that is what he wrestles with here in this sonnet. I'll read it once, say a few things about it, and then read it again. When I consider how my light is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent which is death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my maker and present my true account, lest he returning chide, doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask, but patience to prevent that murmur soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed and post o'er land and ocean without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait. So here Milton dives into the nature of his great loss. His light is spent, that is, his eyesight. In former days, in the ancient world, in the medieval world, the eyes are the light of the human body. They don't just take in, they don't just receive, but they are a kind of lamp that shines light upon the things that you look at. We sometimes still use or see these kinds of metaphors, but not as often, that when you turn your gaze upon something, you aren't just taking it in, but you are sort of shining a beam upon it. So the eyes are the lamps or the light of the face of the human, and his light is spent, it has gone out. Ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and before he has reached as he conceives of it, middle age. Maybe he's being a little optimistic in imagining his lifespan, but nevertheless, roughly, it's not time yet. This is a premature darkening of his sight. He seems to argue with God. And he uses God's own words against him in the first part of this argument, that his academic skills, his ability to read and to write are the talent, the gift that God has given to him, alluding to the parable of the talents in the Gospels. And that when the Lord returns, he is going to expect a return upon this investment. How can God ask him to be fruitful with these talents when God is simultaneously taking the talent away from him? Doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask. And here fondly has a more archaic sense of foolishly. The question, doth God exact day labor, is a great pun on that word, that hyphenate, day labor. Day labor is the labor of a day, but also here it's implied that it's the labor that one can do in the daytime. Does God exact day labor, light denied? Can you expect me to do the things that I would do in the daylight when you have deprived me of daylight? You can't close someone in a dark room for 8 hours and then be upset when they don't sew you a suit of clothes or something along those lines, right? Is what he's flinging at God fondly or foolishly. But here is where the poem turns. And this is an Italian sonnet. So that "I fondly ask" begins the eighth line, which is the ending of the first section of the poem. And then we have this sixth line conclusion or sextet, where the problem gives way to a solution in the sort of normal sonnet formula. Here, the solution is a corrected understanding. One could even say a restoration of sight, right? A new kind of vision or revisioning of his situation and his lot in life. And the turn happens mid-sentence in line 9, so that you can read the eighth line and part of the ninth together as part of his foolish expression. And then you can also read the end of the sentence as in a different light, as part of a wiser answer. So, "Doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask." Break. You can break the thought there and then pick up, "but patience to prevent." Right? That is to say, his final petition in part one is really just fondly asking that God's patience might prevent the loss of his sight. But you can then carry the thought on, "but patience to prevent that murmur soon replies." Right here, patience is actually the subject of the new sentence or clause. It's not that he's asking God's patience to forbear, but his patience is asking him to to zip it. And he receives this kind of answer, though, of course, it's also coming from within him as he discourses, dialogues with his own thought, his own soul. That murmur is prevented by patience and soon replies, "God doth not need either man's works or his own gifts." So the first correction is your labors and your skills aren't as valuable to God as you imagine. So take a step back, have a humbler view of yourself. But there's something else. God is pleased to have you in his service, but it's foolhardy to think that you dictate the terms of those of that service. "Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly." And how do you serve a king? Well, if you are John Milton, right, you might have opportunity to actually witness a king at court, because you live in a monarchy. And you'll notice that there are always people waiting around to do the king's bidding. Queens and princesses even have ladies in waiting, right? People who are waiting upon you and waiting for your bid and your beck and call. Thousands at his bidding speed and post o'er land and ocean without rest. Right, and there are even liturgical reminders of this in certain Christian traditions in the worship service, or prayers that acknowledge the thousands of archangels and 10,000s of angels that surround the throne of God, and yet he also deems us worthy to enter into that that worship, into that place of his royalty, and so Milton is reminded the same. God has many servants. Some of them can't always be occupied. They also serve who only stand and wait. So Milton consoles himself with this knowledge or notion that God will find employment for him. And in the meantime, he simply needs to have patience. And there is a happy ending to Milton's story because though completely blind, Milton writes Paradise Lost, one of the greatest epic poems in Western literature. And he publishes it in 1667, more than a decade, almost two decades after the total loss of his sight. He's able to dictate the entire poem to his three daughters. So a perfect reminder that though we have one estimation of what our strengths are and what we are capable of, and really decide, think we can decide how to use them in the service of God, God often has other ideas that are better, greater, higher than we could expect. Here is the poem one more time. When I consider how my light is spent. When I consider how my light is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent which is death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my maker, and present my true account, lest he returning chide. Doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask. But patience to prevent that murmur soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bear his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly. Thousands at his bidding speed and post o'er land and ocean without rest. They also serve who only stand and wait. This has been The Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. In the meantime, you can visit dailypoempod.substack.com to check out all of our past daily poems. Support the show and subscribe to receive Daily Poem in your inbox or to your app every day. For now, on behalf of everybody here at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson, wishing you happy reading.